keeping with our spirit of nonpartisan politics, we've already heard from a Libertarian, we've heard from a Republican, now we're going to hear from the Democratic State Senator, whose district is up in Gwinnett County. He's been responsible for starting and sponsoring so many medical marijuana laws, referendum laws, and laws that would allow for sale of marijuana in the United States. I've got a list of state resolution, Senate resolution, and Senate bills so long, it basically looks like assembler code. So I'm not even going to go into that. Hopefully he can shed some light on that. Please welcome to the stage the one, the only, State Senator Kurt Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt Thompson.
So, thanks. I won't keep y'all long. I know this is a day for fellowship and work, but it's also a day to remember with it being 420 or 420. It's a day to also remember that we're working on something here that's bigger than just having a rally in a park. It's actually about changing laws. 2 years ago, I was the first elected official in Georgia to propose a statute for a full medical marijuana. For full medical marijuana legislation, and I was the first state senator to propose that Georgia have a referendum to go to a full legalization with a Colorado-style regulated system. There was a rally like this when that happened back then, 2 years ago, and I was the only elected official here. Now you've got rallies in two different parks, and you've got different elected officials here. I see Mayor Terry was going to be here from Clarkston, but he had some problems at his home with a fallen tree. You've got Senator Vincent Ford, I see him down there, and you've got others. So this is moving. It's building and moving. And yes, those bills had to be reintroduced this year, but take a look. We do have a resolution again this year for calling for a full referendum for full legalization the way Colorado does, and the way eight other states have gone, but using the Colorado model. We've got a statute, the enabling legislation, because when you have a referendum, if it passed, you have to have legislation to say, well, what are we going to do of how Georgia would implement a Colorado-style system. And then we do have the full medical marijuana the way, say, Colorado, the way California or Arizona or Florida has. That statute as well has also been reintroduced. And so we're hoping to get hearings, but we won't have hearings, we won't have votes, unless y'all are actually working on it. So please try to figure out, please know who your state rep, who your state senator is. Please be contacting them and make sure they know that they have people who are in support of reforming our state's cannabis and marijuana laws in their district, and that they vote and that you vote, because that's the only way you're going to get things changed, is to remind folks that you're there, you're in their district, and you vote. And then if they won't support you, find a candidate that will. So with that, I'll just leave y'all, but thanks again for having me out. Thanks.
Keep it going for Senator Kurt Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. And keep it going for you folks for coming out here in the middle of the day. Keep it going for the dog in the corner, who's got to be hotter than even I am. That's got to be tough. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are sort of blessed to have a special guest here today. He is the senator for the 39th district in the state of Georgia, but he's also running for mayor of Atlanta, and man, is he dressed like it. I don't think I can pull that outfit off, but it works well on you, sir. Definitely. Please welcome to the stage Senator Vincent Fort.
Good afternoon. I'm one of the people, along with Kurt Thompson, Senator Thompson, that was at one rally. Then we rushed over to this rally to be with you. And I want to thank Kurt Thompson for his leadership on these issues. Give him another round of applause. When I announced for mayor last November 10th, I proposed the decriminalization of marijuana in the city of Atlanta. I did it because I studied the issue and I found that marijuana arrests are the gateway, not to harder drugs, and that myth, but it's the gateway to mass incarceration. In the city of Atlanta and in Fulton County, where the city council and the county commission are both dominated by African Americans, controlled by African Americans, 93% of the arrests in Fulton County are African Americans. And 97% in a study that was done in Atlanta, in a part of Atlanta, 97% of arrests were African Americans. And they tended to be at young African American males. It is a barrier. That arrest for a small amount of marijuana is a barrier to progress in people's lives. It's a barrier to jobs. It's a barrier to education. It's a barrier to the future. I cannot, in good conscience, abide by that, and I know you can. I know you want to stand up against it. And that's why when the city council picked up on it, and there was a ordinance introduced to decriminalize marijuana in the city of Atlanta, I supported it. As a candidate for mayor, I pledged to do it when I became mayor, but I don't have pride of authorship. It's the right thing to do, and it ought to be done as soon as possible. And that's why this rally is so important, because we're at a crossroads in decriminalization in the city of Atlanta. We're at a crossroads, because on last Monday, the city council sent back the decriminalization ordinance from the full council to committee. That's right. But I'm like Barack Obama, don't boo, vote and fight. So the ordinance was sent back to committee. We know what that means. Some people are delaying it so they can what? Kill it. Well, we're here to say to the city council, we're not going to allow you to be cowardly. If you don't do it, we're going to change city council. If you don't, see, and part of me says, I don't care if they do it or not, because it, guess what? When I'm mayor of the city of Atlanta, it's going to happen. But I do care. I do care. I want them to pass it as soon as possible. Because in the intervening time, while they fiddle, hundreds, if not thousands, of young people are being arrested and having their lives ruined. So I do, regardless of what I'm proposing, it would be the best thing to do now for the people of the city of Atlanta. So we're going to be in the Public Safety Committee meeting next week. Does anybody know when that is? I think it's Wednesday, but I'm sure we'll get the word out. We're going to be in the City Council Committee next week. We're going to be at the City Council meeting the week after. And we're going to be wherever we need to be, for however long we need to be there to get this done. So thank you. Go to my Twitter, Fort for Atlanta. Go to my Facebook, Fort for Atlanta. Stay in touch. We're going to win. We're going to win this November. We're going to decriminalize marijuana. We're going to make Atlanta a city that works for everybody, not just some folks. So God bless you, and thank you for everything you do.
All right, keep it going for Senator Vincent Fort, ladies and gentlemen. Mayoral candidate in Atlanta, the kind of mayoral candidate that folks here definitely like to see. Probably the first politician I have ever seen publicly admit that cannabis is a gateway drug, not to stronger drugs, but to mass incarceration. I always considered a gateway drug to deep fried Twinkies and playing Donkey Kong on your parents' the sofa in your parents' basement, which as a parent is something I'm very concerned about. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's keep this thing going with your very next speaker, the head of Compassionate Atlanta. Please welcome Gareth Young, ladies and gentlemen, Gareth Young.
Hello, everybody. It's an honor and a privilege to be here talking to you all today. I'll start with a correction. I'm not the head of Compassionate Atlanta. I'm a board member for Compassionate Atlanta, so let the record stand corrected. So I will start by talking about Compassionate Atlanta and what that is. Most of you probably don't know. Compassionate Atlanta comes out of a movement, a compassion movement, founded on the Golden Rule. Its foundation comes out of faith teachings, where the underpinning of the world's great faith traditions is the Golden Rule. It was promulgated initially by Karen Armstrong in a TED talk. She won a bunch of money, and she then wrote a charter for compassion. And so there are organizations that have sprung up around the globe based on compassion. Compassion Atlanta is one of them. It is a movement that's taking root in and around us. Clarkston, the city of Clarkston, has signed up to as a compassionate city. The Atlanta City Council has also adopted the Charter for Compassion, and we have 100 or so corporate partners, and lots of individuals have signed the Compassionate Charter. The foundation of the Charter for Compassion is really, as I say, the Golden Rule. It's about equity. It's about fairness and looking for the humanity in others. It is about seeking to understand first. And we're starting to get to why we are here today talking at a cannabis marijuana rally, 420 rally. It's about understanding, really listening and understanding to what's going on here. As Vincent Fort said before, there is a justice problem here. The Compassionate Atlanta and the Compassionate Movement would take a much more nuanced and balanced approach to justice and favor restorative justice rather than punitive justice. And in a city which is approximately 50% African American, to have way over 90% of arrests African American for marijuana possession, the vast majority of those, something over 90% of 1,000 or so arrests in the last couple of years, were for less than an ounce. That's horrible. And the penalty for that, large fines, hundreds of dollars, up to $1,000, time in jail, a criminal record that lasts the rest of your life. So if you've got young people who are being penalized for the rest of their life for something that is a recreational habit or a medicinal habit, and in massively disproportionate numbers. So echoing the gateway drug point, this is not a gateway drug to other drugs. This is a gateway drug to prison. And if you line it up against other recreational drugs, and obviously I think here of cigarettes and alcohol, we've got gateway to road traffic accidents, gateway to violence, gateway to cancer. Is this just? Is this fair? Is this equitable? I would argue not. And it's also, obviously, it's got medicinal purposes, and there's a story, I don't know how many of you, probably all of you, saw last week tonight, a week or so ago, where Brandon Coates was a case. He was, I'm going to wait for the plane to go over. Brandon Coates is a DISH employee who took medicinal marijuana. It helped him considerably, but notwithstanding that, he had a drug test at work and he lost his job. Again, is this equitable? We're looking here at true justice, at restorative justice, at proportionate justice, but that's not what's happening. There are changes happening at the state and local level. There's a lot in the newspapers, a lot in the press to suggest that this is happening fairly fast. As we just heard, it's not happening anywhere near fast enough. And even to the extent it does happen at the state and local level, we still have marijuana as a Schedule I controlled substance at the federal level. And so at the federal level, no matter what you do at the state and local level, you've got federal penalties invoked. So there needs to be a lot more done from a justice standpoint, from a compassionate standpoint, to treat all citizens equally, to recognize the disproportion of punishment that is being levied on young folks, on African American folks, through use of marijuana, and to do that both at the state and at the federal levels. Thank you.